Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan, live in Bowie, Maryland. We're at the home of the Bay Sox today as they take on the Nats AA affiliate. Came out to see James Wood and the Nationals play the Orioles 2A affiliate at a beautiful ballpark. We're going to be joined by Robert Hassel and James Wood, a couple of the outfielders for the Harrisburg Senators, who the Nationals acquired for Juan Soto in a pretty epic deal with the Padres last year. But right now, on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books, download the BetQL app, visit BetQL.com. We're joined by Spencer Carberry, the new head coach of the Washington Capitals, back in the organization where he spent time at multiple affiliates, including running the Hershey Bears program and coaching a lot of the young Capitals up-and-coming stars. Spencer, we really appreciate you joining us on Grant and Danny. Congratulations. How are you?
Well, thank you so much. I'm doing excellent today. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. Congratulations, first of all. Walk us through the process. What was it like? Who'd you talk to? What'd you guys talk about?
After our year finished up in Toronto, started going through the process of some of the head coaching vacancies, and as I went through the process and as I was talking with Washington and the organization and management, I could tell early on that it just felt comfortable, and having known the people in the organization, a lot of the players, the vision, what they appreciated, it just felt like a great fit.
I listened to the press conference today, and Brian McClellan said, in addition to getting one of the best young coaches in the sport in yourself, 41-year-old Spencer Carberry joining us on Grant and Danny, he said the familiarity and knowing you as a person made this a no-brainer. It sounds like that went both ways. What are some of the real strong relationships you have with some of the high officials here in this organization that made you think this was the fit?
Well, for me, I think I've been around and know the quality of people from the management down to with on a daily basis in Hershey. From people like, let me give you an example, like a Brooks Orpik or Jim Slater that are heavily involved in player development, or Steve Richmond and Olaf Kolzig. All of these relationships and having worked closely with them and them having seen the way that I operate and the way that I run a team as a head coach, that is, I think, a really good example of why it felt like such a comfortable fit on both sides of it.
Coach, scout yourself here as a coach. Give me kind of like on the spectrum. On one end, maybe, players coach, you're like playing cards on the team bus late night. Other end of the spectrum, austere, hard-o that like barely makes eye contact, and hands out nothing but discipline and shouting with like the occasional, that didn't stink. Like, where are you on the spectrum?
Okay, so I'm not tiptoeing around this question. This is what I genuinely feel is my strength, and this is what I've told through this process, is I think that's what makes me somewhat unique as a young coach, is I feel like my strengths are a balance between those two things you just described, is being a new age, innovative communicator, make sure you're doing everything you can to help these young athletes get better, spelling it out for them, showing them all of that love and care for a player. And then on the other hand, which I feel like is a strength in this balance, is you've got to push them and it's my job to be demanding and make sure that they reach levels that maybe they didn't think they were capable of reaching. And that takes, at times, a real demanding person and a coach that's going to push your group. So I'm not trying to sit on the fence. That's what I genuinely feel is my strength as a coach, is being a balance of both.
How do you figure out what each player needs to get the most out of them? Meaning, if you need to kick him in the butt or put an arm around him, because every player's personality is so different. How do you go about, in an organization where you know a few guys already, but not everyone, getting that intel to figure out how to coach them?
Relationships. And that starts right now from the first day that I was hired, is you have to start to learn about people. You got to listen. You have to gather information and create a strong relationship and learn how, for example, how does TJ Oshie respond to coaching? What is he like? How does he like to learn? What works for him? And as you learn and gather that information, now I'm better at coaching TJ Oshie. And now I understand how he learns. I understand how he needs to be motivated. So creating all those relationships and learning about your players, now you're able to, exactly what you touched on, is teach and motivate in their own specific ways inside of a team setting, which is the challenge. And that's where I think that comes into play.
New Caps coach Spencer Carberry with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Coach, I've posited this, and I want your reaction to it. I think this is actually a really – it's a great opportunity, obviously, but it's also a tough gig, and here's why. There's the core of this team, a lot of guys that are really accomplished are north of 30. There's also the challenge of sort of ushering in a bunch of guys that may not have that level of experience, and some of the kids, to get them up to speed. It's easier if you're just in one lane or the other. Like, veteran group trying to win it, bunch of kids trying to get some NHL experience. Yeah, this is kind of both. I think that's a really big challenge. I'd love for you to speak to that.
You're exactly right. I couldn't agree more. And I'm not. I understand that. My optimism comes in as a head coach is, I think scenarios that you just described, and have a very, very competitive environment and a very, very competitive team that expects to win on a nightly basis. Are we going to have growing pains? Is it difficult to integrate young players into the lineup? No question. No question. Is it a hard league and it takes young players time? But I feel like with our group, with those leadership and veteran players that are elite and still have gas in the tank, and our ability as coaches to hopefully help our young guys be able to contribute and be a part of a winning culture and be in a winning lineup right now, I think that's where I'm optimistic that we can make that process happen quicker.
Spencer Carberry on Grant and Danny, new head coach of the Capitals. A lot of reasons why he was a great fit and was the Caps' number one choice and was the hottest coaching candidate among some of the young up-and-comers in the sport. One of them, though, is the success that Toronto had on the power play the last couple of years with you directing that unit. It's no secret, Coach, the power play has fallen off here despite having arguably the greatest power play goal scorer ever in Alex Ovechkin. How do you fix that? Is there any chance you would move Ovechkin out of his office more often than has happened? And if he is going to stay put where he's had so much success, how creative can you be to try to give this thing a fresh look to try to get some more pucks in the back of the net?
Well, it's a massive priority for our coaching staff, is how do we best utilize our top players and how do we get more production out of the power play? Special teams, as you know, is a big, big part of this league. So that is right up there as a top priority of number one, identifying staff-wise how we're going to make that work of someone running the power play, adding assistant coaches or assistant coaches, I say plural. And then my experience and where I've learned a lot over the last couple of years and had some success with a group in Toronto, and how I can help the coach that comes in or runs that, or how we navigate that situation. But I don't know exactly how that'll look, so I can't answer specifically what we do here or there. I have some foundational things that I think are important and ways that I think we can be more effective on our power play for the Washington Capitals, but that will be a main priority.
Coach, what experience that you've had? You've had such an amazing variety in terms of your run-up down in the minor leagues, on the bench there with Toronto. What experience that you've had do you feel like got you most ready to be a head coach?
Here's my answer to this, and this is going to sound a little bit off, but you know where I got the most valuable experience was in the East Coast Hockey League, in the ECHL for the South Carolina Stingrays, and those 6 years where you are, I don't use this term lightly, when you are grinding in the minor leagues on a bus, you're doing immigration, housing, you're doing travel, you're doing per diem, you're doing hotels. Like, that is where, as a young head coach, you are learning the most valuable lessons in terms of time management, in terms of you're willing to recruit and grind and work long hours and commit to a job that is going to take you 20 hours a day at times. That, for me, is what molded me as a head coach, was those years in South Carolina and understanding the work and commitment that it was going to take to be successful in the profession.
Were you handing out the envelopes at the hotels, Coach, with the
the
$50 in it?
100% I was, and I was cleaning the apartments at the end of the year and the player apartments. You did everything. That's the way it worked back then at that level.
That's unreal. I mean, we're sitting at a minor league ballpark today ahead of a baseball game here in Bowie. And, I mean, you could be the pulling tarps, you know, and rain delays if you're a manager.
Raking the mound,
at this level. So I totally get it. It's pretty amazing. For someone who would say the window started to close, they missed the playoffs for the first time in a long time. Some of the players are older and having a hard time staying healthy, Backstrom, Oshie, what have you. Like, that this is a big risk for you because the expectations are sky high, that this – someone could look at this team and say they could compete for a cup next year. But the fact is, it's getting more difficult than it would have been 2, 3, 4 years ago. Why this challenge, and what would you say to them?
Well, what I would say to that is, here's what I know about the group in the limited time that I've spent around them and knowing them a little bit, is from previous years and being around post-Stanley Cup and getting to know the veteran players. These are highly competitive, motivated young men. And when I'm looking at it from a head coaching perspective, I look at it optimistically of there's gas in the tank here. Like they want to compete at the highest level and expect to be a playoff team and get into the dance. And so I just don't, for me, I don't see it as you know, a team getting older that's just going to say, you know what, we'll just run it out. I don't see that from the people that I know and from their character and the competitiveness and how badly they – so I don't see that. And I see guys that are going to be highly motivated and want to prove something, that they're still capable of playing at a high level and we're still capable of making noise.
Coach, you've forgotten more about hockey this morning than I'll know in my entire life. I grew up in this area just watching the Capitals, but it's not intuitive to me because I never played. Here's what, and again, this probably will be a poor question because of that, but when I watch these other teams play, everybody looks so fast to me. They look like it's not necessarily straight line skating speed, but there's no space. There's no room to breathe. You got no chance to pass the puck around, no chance to dilly dally. You know, there's somebody's breathing right on top of you, causing pressure, especially when it kind of gets ramped up in playoff time. And at times over these last couple of years, it hasn't felt like the Capitals can match that speed and energy. Is there a fix there? Like, how do you make guys quicker? Is that something that's a focal point? Is it personnel changes? I'd love for you to speak to where the game is now in terms of speed.
Yeah, and it's a great question. And I spoke about it today, and I think I have some experience over the last 2 years in that is teams that look quick, okay? It doesn't necessarily that you line them all up on the line and their 40-yard dash times or 40-yard dash, meaning on the ice times, are through the roof. I think there's a lot of things we can do structurally, and I used a term today, which I'll talk a lot about with our group, is you look really, really quick when you're connected with what you're doing. The puck moves, there's support underneath it, there's guys flying through the middle, everybody's on the same page with where the next play is going, and now all of a sudden, whether you have burners of skaters or not, you look quick, you're getting up the ice quick, you're attacking quick, you're in on the forecheck quick, and then you're coming back. So I think you're right in a sense of, like, there's a way to accomplish that with not necessarily going out and acquiring guys that fly around the ice. You can look quicker if you are, the term I like to use is connected.
Coach, there are two players specifically that last year just underachieved, and they're so talented, and at times here in Washington have been outstanding. Evgeny Kuznetsov carried this team to the Stanley Cup back in 18, and he just wasn't at the same level last year, and I don't know enough to know why. The other is Anthony Mantha, who was once acquired for Jake Virana, and we've seen him be dominant at times, and it was a really disappointing season. With those two specifically, have you studied enough yet and watched enough film to know, with Mantha, with Kuznetsov, like, maybe what was missing, and where do those priorities of those two players specifically, getting back to max capacity, rank on your priority list?
Well, really, really important players for our team, our organization, and so they're, to answer the latter of it, they're really high on the priority list, and that's my job, to gather information, watch film, figure out what ways I can best help them get to the level that they expect to be at, and how they can help our team win. Me coming in and necessarily looking like, okay, this player did this, this player did this, this player didn't do this, that's not really the way that I'll look at it, even though I understand the question of, yeah, you're going to have to try to get the most out of all these players. I will absolutely gather information and then figure out, okay, how can I best help set you up for success, i.e. Kuzi or whoever the player is. And that's what my focus will be. And then obviously getting the group on the same page with how we need to play winning hockey. And Kuzi will be a big part of that.
Coach, have you thought about what you're going to do? Maybe, I don't know, middle of next year at some point when you're on the bench, when number 8 passes Wayne Gretzky for the all-time goal record?
I have not, but I've definitely thought about him, his chase of the record, and now the responsibility that I have within that. I have thought about that, and that's sort of where my head goes, is not is, okay, how do I help him get there? How can I set him up for success and utilize his skills? So it is not lost on me, the importance of that and my role in that. And that's what my focus will be, or what I'll get to work on.
This is kind of a silly question, but, you know, I'm mid-30s, and I look at Ovi and I just marvel, like everybody else does, at the fact that he doesn't seem to age. You're only a couple years older than your captain. I mean, really, legitimately, you're only a few years older than Ovi is. I have to imagine that just changes your perspective as you look at this guy in amazement.
I'm just trying to get upstairs at times with my knee.
Relatable, yeah.
and he's absolutely it is amazing. It's remarkable at where he's at in his career, what he's been able to accomplish, how hard he plays, how competitive he is. All of it together is, it's just impressive.
All right, so we always, when we have players or coaches on, before we let you go here in our final couple of moments, we like to let our listeners get to know you a little bit off the ice or away from the bench. So we'll go rapid fire here with some questions to get to know the brand-new head coach of the Capitals, kind with his time today, Spencer Carberry. I want to begin with your celebratory meal. You get to be as fat as you want. No one's judging you. Big win. You get the day off. You can eat anywhere and eat whatever you want. What's the meal of choice?
Oh, red meat. Red meat. And I'm going a big New York strip.
You know what, though? Strip was my – I always say ribeye. Strip is what I've always loved. I think it's the perfect choice. It's a great option. So you go strip over a filet or a ribeye, huh?
I do. I used to be all ribeye, and now I don't know if it's just the getting a little bit older. A good strip is now my jam.
All right, I like that. Your favorite film?
Oh, okay. I'm going. I don't know if this would be considered old, but I'm going Gladiator.
Are you not entertained? That's an outstanding answer. What's the craziest thing you've gotten away with?
Craziest thing I've gotten away with.
You mean because he's famous?
No, or? Just because. Like, I shoplifted from Commander Salamander when I was in seventh grade. I still feel bad about it.
That is a hard question on the fly.
Right?
That's the first time you've ever asked anyone that.
That is a tough one. Oh, my gosh. I can't. I'm sorry.
I'm going to bail you out. I think that's too hard of a question.
That's too hard? I jumped off a bridge and landed in the water and was fine.
Yeah, I think that's hard.
I played hockey at a high level.
You know what? I got an answer. I got an answer for you. My freshman year in Alaska Anchorage, I was up skiing at spring break with a bunch of the teammates, went a double black diamond, and I went off course, and it was bad. It was bad to where looking out, and I go, uh-oh, I'm off. If I go a couple feet off this cliff, it's over.
That's a great answer. Last show you binged, last TV show you binged.
I just finished the last season of Ozark.
Jason Bateman, director. Almost as good as Jason Bateman, the actor.
So good.
Big Ozark guy.
Smartless as well, if you guys are into podcasts.
Yes, love it. I've been watching Smartless live on HBO Max, or I think they had the really good idea of dropping HBO from their app names.
Get rid of that brand.
It's just Max.
Merge it with TLC for whatever reason or something.
You got any more, Danny? I got one more.
Yes. I want to know what's your eating contest food. Like, for whatever reason, you could put away more of this than anybody else.
Oh, good answer, or good question. I'm going to say Brussels sprouts.
What?
Is it the candy ones that aren't healthy, that are, like, crispy or healthy Brussels sprouts?
I love, like, you know how they're doing them now where it's sort of, like, flash fried? It's, like,
let's
in
go.
The air fryer, yeah.
A little bacon in there, a little syrup, maybe. Actor who you would want to play you in a movie. That'll be my last one.
Actor? Oh, man. Well, this is kind of default because I've gotten this a lot through my younger years. And
I hope he says
as I've gotten older, Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel.
I was
going
to say, have you gotten that?
That's a good one to get, by the way. Like, people look at me and they're like, oh, John Candy, maybe. Vin Diesel's a better one to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, except you know what? Now he's sort of becoming that a little bit older. So I'll get. Yeah, you look like that guy from The Pacifier. he was in Fast and the Furious and all this better stuff of The Pacifier. Okay,
only 10 of them.
Yeah,
only
the
10
guy
Fast
from The
and
Pacifier.
The Furious movies. It's really funny. We're excited. It's an exciting hire, going young here and high energy, and for the next era with a lot of young players that are important. Bringing in an instructor who's been in the minors seems like a really good fit. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Congrats.
Thank you guys very much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Our pleasure. There's Spencer Carberry, the new head coach of the Capitals. They went with not an in-house candidate, but a guy that had been in-house recently enough that there is a lot of familiarity could help them to hit the ground sprinting. We're in Bowie, Maryland, so that we can check out James Wood today. We're hoping to have him on the show. We're with you until 6:30. On the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in Bowie, Maryland, where tonight the Nationals' AA affiliate, the Harrisburg Senators, are playing the Orioles' 2A affiliate, the Bowie Bay Sox. Grant and Danny out and about and on the road. It's going to be a big weekend here in Bowie. Tomorrow night, 90s night, fanny pack giveaways to the first 750 fans. Very 1990s here. Danny and I have already got our hands on some fanny packs. A guy who has very little file on the 90s.
Zero file in the 90s. It was before him.
He was born in 2001.
God, that's annoying.
21 years old. He turns 22 later this baseball season. Robert Hassel was one of the players the Nats got back in the Juan Soto deal from the San Diego Padres, joins us now. So when you hear the 90s, does it feel the same to you as like hearing the 70s? Is it just all really old and not
you
important
say.
To you?
I mean, kind of, man.
Yeah.
To be honest, yes, just because – I don't, you know, obviously don't remember anything.
So what about the idea of this thing? So you wear this, are you familiar with the fanny pack?
Yeah.
You wear this in front of you so that you don't have to put things in your pockets. Is that a style you could get behind?
Yes.
Hey, it's,
yeah, people do it, obviously, but I still think it's a little, like, different and cool. I just like anything a little different and cool. Cool design on it, so.
I think that it plays. Have you noticed any particularly cool promotions or night like themes or giveaways this minor league season that have stood out to you?
To be honest, I couldn't really pick one, but I do any night when it's like that. Just as a player, I notice the crowds love it. There's always good crowds on those promotional nights. We usually get a cool little jersey to wear. So I mean, I like it. I think all of them are cool. Anything we can do to celebrate, you know, anything.
How's your year going to this point? How do you feel about it? What are you liking, not liking, going to it?
I think it's been good so far. I just like winning ball games, and as long as we can do that, of course, I've been hitting at the top of the lineup, so you know I can really get things going for the team. I think I've liked how I've been seeing a lot of pitches. I do, especially at the start of the game. You know, getting that going, getting the guys in the dugout some eyes on the pitcher and what he's throwing for certain games, and that's on the offensive side. Defense, I've felt good all year up to this point, and obviously we've added some dudes to the team, and pitching looks good, so it's been fun. Yeah.
Our guest is 21 years old, as I mentioned, a left-handed hitting outfielder, was the eighth pick in the 2020 draft, getting on base at a .366 clip. He's got one of the highest walk rates, not only in the Nats organization, but in all of minor league baseball. So you started the year, West Palm, had some extra time trying to get healthy and rehab. Then you went to Fredericksburg, got to see you play there a bunch. You played, I think, 15 games, and it's been 24 games now at AA. So you're kind of back where you would have been maybe, if not for the injury and some of the things that you were trying to overcome. Maybe you'd be in AAA right now. Mm-hmm. But are you 100%, like, feel all the way back? And do you now feel like this is no longer about getting back to where you were, but actually – improving and adding and kind of picking back up where you were?
Exactly. That's exactly right. I feel 100%, and that was the main thing. Even in Fredericksburg, just getting back into the flow of the game, and like it's hard to emulate playing nine innings, especially 6 days a week or whatever, which I want to do. And taking some time off with the injury for the first time really in my whole life really showed me that. I mean, the game's hard. Playing the game every day is hard. So, got back in the flow of it, and you know, I'm here now, and like you said, just picking back up and proving on everything I need to get to the big leagues. That's my main focus.
What have they told you? In other words, they give you marching orders, going, "Hey, we want you." You mentioned hitting the top of the order, taking a bunch of pitches, right, mm-hmm. seeing the ball a little mm-hmm. bit better, or you know, maybe pitches per bat. You got a mandate like that from the organization? Hey, we want you to work on this, or is it just go play, kid, and we'll check in?
No, not necessarily, but I've kind of taken that upon myself. Like, look, if that's where I'm going to be in the order, and I've always kind of been at the top, of the order, but so I'm kind of used to taking the pitches and being a leadoff guy and doing my job. But that's all I'm really trying to do. Just do my job and that, not necessarily anything from the org on that, but definitely looking to hit the ball harder. I feel like I'm doing that this year when the ball's in play. Feel like I'm hitting the ball harder, just more consistently. That's what I'm working on.
You were drafted in the top 10. You were killing the ball in the Padres system, playing a futures game, like on the fast track. And then you go through something that none of us can relate to. Mm-hmm. Your name's on every TV show, mm-hmm. and you're traded for Juan Soto, who is a beloved all-time athlete in DC sports. Mm-hmm. What was that like? I mean, your life in some ways kind of gets turned upside down, and now you've been picturing yourself in one ballpark and one jersey forever. It's cross country and it's a whole different ball game. What's this been like?
Yeah, it's different. It's taught me a couple things. Like, it's how much relationships help with your buddies, with your friends, coaches, and stuff. Because coming over to a new place where I know nobody, you know, I knew Darren Baker from the Futures game, and then you know, and that's the same with everybody that gets traded. They go into a new clubhouse. It's just really taking the time to meet everybody and, you know, put a face to a name, and that makes it a lot easier. And then also, just knowing, like, it the main thing that it's taught me is it's the same game. It really is. I mean, so seeing all the stuff on the social media and stuff, you can get overwhelmed. And
what do you mean by that? Just like the ranking?
Well, no. Just like with the trade, like everybody's hyped up. Hey, can't wait for you. This. It's easy to be like, okay, let's go. Like, let's, and then press on yourself a little bit too much. And then when I came over to Wilmington at first, that's what I was doing. I was pressing, like, look, man, let's let it. Like,
I got to show them I'm worth Soto.
Six-run home run.
You know, I got to show them, you know, and just doing a bit too much. And, you know, settling down and knowing who I am and playing my game, I feel like is going to give me the best chance. So, you know, continue doing that now. And that was then. I'm here now. So I know everybody, great clubhouse, great coaching staff. So it's been a fun ride so far.
Robert Hassel with us here live in person. We're at Bowie Bay Sox Stadium. Grant Daniel, 106.7 The Fan. Just to expound on that, you should probably be in like a sociology class somewhere, getting ready for a regional at this point. But here you are, you know, playing professional baseball, you know, a couple phone calls away from the show. But to add to that Juan Soto pressure, there's an inextricable link there, mm-hmm. right? It's hard enough to make the big leagues. It's hard enough to continue your own baseball journey without any kind of comparison or anything else. How have you been able to separate that and kind of just focus on you being the best Robert Hassel possible, which is still pretty damn good?
Yeah. Obviously, like, it's the same. I just try to put myself in other players' shoes. Like, look, there's multiple other guys, James Wood being one of them that's on the team now. It's in the same shoes as me. Like, we just got to continue to be professionals about it. And at the end of the day, we're playing a game, man. And performance does matter, and there's people that are counting on you and fans that come and want to see you do good. But then, like you said, I mean, you got to be you. I'll let Juan Soto do his thing. I know he's a great player. Bell is in that trade too, great player. All these guys that came over here, I mean, we all got talent. So as long as we do our thing, man, we're going to help this. I really do believe we're going to help this org a lot.
And it's already happening, right? Yeah. Mackenzie Gore punched out 11 in 7 innings this weekend.
Abrams
hit another bomb yesterday. He's on pace for 20-plus home runs.
Yeah.
We're seeing it.
It's awesome, man.
The team's competing for sure. We saw James Wood just a few minutes ago down here. Mm-hmm. Really small. Small guy.
In person, shorter than you think. You know, what I mean?
It's amazing guys that small can be good at baseball.
It's crazy. It's crazy. There was a – last week they had – a first baseman that was 6'8", I think, and Wood got on first base, and I was like, man, I would hate to be the first base coach right there.
What game is this?
I'm backing off, you know, I'm standing off to the side, making me look way too small.
6'6", change, maybe 6'7", James Wood, the smaller guy in that tandem. Yeah. So you've been playing center field almost every day here in AA.
Right.
Obviously, that's a position you've played traditionally. Mm-hmm. Wood could play center. Elijah Green's in the system now. Mm-hmm. In Fredericksburg, they were moving you around more, it felt like. Mm-hmm. Left, right, center.
Yeah.
What is the plan at this point? Or is it just, hey, get as many reps in center as you can? Because since James has come up, they've put him, it seems like, in a corner.
Yeah. Looks like center, right? You know? And for me, obviously, whichever one. I mean, I feel like I can cover a bunch of ground wherever. And balls are hit everywhere. So... but for me, it doesn't really matter. I do have a lot more games in center than anywhere else, but hearing the idea of playing right and or left, whichever one works for the team, man, it's exciting to me.
How about the possibility? I just mentioned two other guys. So Elijah goes top five.
Yeah.
And he's in Fredericksburg trying – you were just with him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get the swing worked out. There's a lot on his plate right now. Probably going through some of the same things you were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But with James Wood, there's not a team in baseball that has three outfield prospects with the potential that you guys have. We dream on it as fans all the time. What's that like for you to think about down the road?
Yeah. Yeah, being a baseball fan, yeah, it's obviously really exciting. And amongst the other guys that we got too, it's like, wow, you really have so many guys. And that's just outfielders, and then you go to the infielders and catcher. It's like it's pitchers. It's crazy, man. So as a whole, it's looking really good.
Something I'm curious about. As you get older, guys get stronger, you know, time in the weight room, just time out there getting bigger, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
What's the balance there, still being a predator drone out in center field going to run everything down versus hulking up a little bit and hitting some more tanks? Like, how do you balance that?
Just making – for me, it's just like the reps and knowing myself. So, like, if my speed is still – the amount of times I actually do sprints and stuff, and I've gained weight as last year – 8 to 10 pounds since last year. So
have you really?
Yeah. So and
but not like
we have too.
And I want and obviously want to keep building more and more. But I see myself run and I still feel good. And I'm like, okay, you know, I can definitely still got
interesting
more
his,
weight to gain.
His wasn't drive throughs
no.
and not working.
not
out.
Like
it's
we
a
did.
Different kind
different
of
than
weight.
We did it.
We're about to find out actually how much weight Danny gained at dinner last night.
Just
it's
at
a
dinner.
Little game we play because we went out as a show, the four of us,
uh-huh.
Yesterday. I'm going to just tell you really quick what we ate. Not impressive or anything, just four of us. Ribs, potatoes, short rib, chicken and waffles, mac and cheese, lobster mac and cheese, grits,
oh, man.
Soda and tea, fried green tomatoes, 8 biscuits, skillet of cornbread, deviled eggs, Llewellyn's fine fried chicken, deep fried Oreos, and banana pudding.
Oh, my.
So it was pretty good.
That is a meal right there.
Like, that's
there.
A party platter for 10,
wow.
12.
That might have, you guys, they should catered that for the ball club
oh,
today.
Oh, man.
That might have fed the team.
That would have, yeah.
What's
we
your,
eat a lot, but.
Do you have a go-to pre- or post-game meal or anything, like, that you find yourself habitually doing?
Here during the year, as long as I, like, pre- post-game, we have a lot of rice or something, like, definitely, like, a lot of carbs. And I eat a lot of protein throughout the day. Even, like, when I, my snacks, I just like protein a lot, so. Those carbs for me, main thing. If I could have a go-to, Chipotle. I guarantee you there's 100 dudes on the field that could.
What's your Chipotle go-to order, your number one?
Really, really, really simple.
Yep.
I might, you know, there might be hate given for this one, but literally rice.
Brown or
either,
white?
I'll do white rice.
Okay.
Either half chicken, half steak, or I'll go double chicken. And then, like, queso and pico, and that's it.
I can respect.
And then
this.
I'll shake it in the
and
box
shake it real
a
good.
Lot, and obviously, and
so
then,
you don't want the tortilla. Let it hug you.
No,
the tortilla.
No, just in a bowl, and that's it. And I'll scarf it down real quick, and I might get two of them, and
two of them.
Gets two.
That's right.
I might.
God, to have a metabolism.
Obviously, it depends on the situation, but yeah.
If you do two, would you do double meat in both, or would it be half?
Probably not. Okay. It'd probably go lighter on the second one for sure.
Do you pay up for guacamole?
I'm not a huge guac guy. Like. I love it when I have it. I don't think I would order it, and I really don't order it a bunch, but I love queso, man. I'll get a queso all day.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Robert Hassel, who's on his way to the big leagues. Hopefully we'll see him by the end of the summer getting a chance to make his debut with the Nationals. Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Great to meet you,
Thank
dude.
You, guys.
One of the
appreciate
members
it.
Of the Juan Soto return joining us on site here out in Bowie. We're Grant and Danny. Our double play is next. How much weight did Danny gain at dinner? We're going to find out on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On site in Bowie, Maryland, home of the Bay Sox, where the Harrisburg Senators are in town, Nats AA affiliate. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. When I get into Commanders OTA storylines coming up at 4:25 after our Beltway Blitz, we'll get into football here in early June as teams all over the country are back on the grass getting ready for minicamp. So we will chat about that coming up next hour. If you missed our interview with Robert Hassel, one of the players who came back to the Nats in the Juan Soto deal, it was good to get to see him in person today. Go grab the podcast when we're done at thefandc.com. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny, you teased earlier that you had an impromptu, unplanned, spontaneous. How much weight did Danny gain at dinner last night after we collectively took down a restaurant's worth of food at Yardbird?
Gentlemen, you know how this game works. The difference this time, the wild card, if you will, is you saw me. You saw what I did. There's no hiding. There's no pretending. You're free to ask me any questions you want, but I'll just give you the skinny. That's a poor choice of words. I'll give you the fat. I weighed myself after breakfast yesterday morning. Okay, so that's around a, we're calling it 8:10 a.m. 8:10 a.m. I ate breakfast.
Also important because eating. You didn't weigh yourself when you woke up.
Right.
This was after food was in your body.
Yes, 8:10 a.m. I ate breakfast once again this morning, a little bit earlier, at 7-something, but roughly 24 hours later. The main thing, aside from a couple tiny snacks, was what we ate the night before.
Did you weigh yourself after breakfast?
After breakfast.
Okay.
After breakfast both times. You saw what I ate. You saw what happened. Mm-hmm. Ask away, and then give me your guesses.
Yeah, so we don't have to ask much about what you ate. We can just tell people you had a giant vat of macaroni and cheese with a lobster. A full lobster. Mm-hmm. You ate a bunch of cornbread, probably half of a skillet of cornbread.
Yep.
If not more.
We sleep on how good that cornbread was, by the way.
Oh,
great cornbread. Dripping in butter. Sure. Just unbelievable.
A third of
my two biscuits.
A tray of grits.
Yep.
Did you have any of the grits for breakfast this morning?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I couldn't look at them.
Well, they're in your fridge.
I mean, they're fantastic.
You had two biscuits. There was a little bit of fried chicken.
Yeah, I had some fried chicken.
You had some of the cheese cake. All right.
The tomato.
Forget about the fried
tomato.
Green tomato.
Yeah.
Fried green tomato. You had one of those. Did you work out at all yesterday? Exercise?
Yes, I did, Grant.
Oh.
Yes, I did.
What'd you do?
I did a kind of HIIT routine. Did a little of everything, full body, abs, weightlifting at home. A 30-minute HIIT.
Okay.
When did you weigh in post meal? This morning
or
yesterday?
Yeah, I weighed in after breakfast both days. Okay. So 7:30 this morning, 8:10 yesterday.
Got it.
About 24 hours.
All right, let's make our guesses here. Ryan, you're not on site, so we'll let you go first.
I'm going to say Danny gained 9.5 pounds.
Whoa!
In 24 hours?
Wow, man, okay.
That's a lot.
He knows how my metabolism works,
yeah, but
which it's not at all.
I think that would be, we'd have to send you to the hospital.
Yeah.
Darris?
Let's go. I'm going to go with 3.8 pounds.
3.8 for Darris?
Okay. I'm going to go with 5.1 pounds.
Very nice. Grant is 5.1. For the record, CK is in at 5.5 pounds. He texted me independently. Your answer here. I weighed in yesterday morning at 223.1. I weighed in this morning at 229.3. That is 6.2 pounds gained from one meal last night.
6 pounds.
I had the same thing for breakfast both days. 6.2 pounds is what I gained last night. Most of that was in my side fat, stomach fat, and back fat, which prevented me from buttoning up my blazer as we left the restaurant last night, and it stayed there, and it remained.
The blazer was buttoned when we went in.
It sure was.
It just wasn't buttoned.
It was buttoned mid-meal when I went to the restroom. It was not buttoned when I walked outside, and I looked like a rube.
So here's the good news.
Yeah.
And I always like to cushion the blow with this.
Uh-huh.
6 pounds in a day, terrible.
It's not good.
There's some fake weight in there, right? There's some water weight. Like, you give it a day or two, you probably only up 2.5-3 pounds.
There's also some grits, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, I know what you're talking about with the water weight, but there's also the lard from the biscuits.
What a meal we had.
Yep.
Just one for the ages. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan, and we are on site today out in Bowie, Maryland, where they'll have fireworks following the game on Saturday, which is Star Wars night. They're going to wear R2-D2 jerseys to benefit the University of Maryland Medical System Foundation. They're having an online auction where they'll give away those jerseys after the game. Beltway Blitz is next, taking you up to 6:30 G&D out and about ahead of Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.